Welcome to the Warning Track Power Hour. I am Dr. Andrew Scant. He is Dr. Michael Werman, Esquire. On today's show, we'll get into a little more updates on the Kansas City Royals and their, I guess, success, but maybe not so high success. We'll also check in on our picks for the Copa America and Euro 24 soccer tournaments. But we'll kick off today's show. Talk about Major League Baseball and the All-Star Game. I guess we'll talk about the draft a little bit too as a preview. The Royals managed to get four picks in this year's All-Star Game, which is an impressive number for especially for Kansas City. But there are 32 new first-time All-Stars this year. Do you think that's a lot? Too many? Not enough? For maybe fan, excitement in the game, maybe it's a good thing, or what do you think about that?
I don't think that hurts having new faces in the All-Star game. I don't think the All-Star game is what it used to be. I don't think it's something that people tune into automatically like they did when we were kids. Because I think that when we were kids, like it was the only chance to get you would get to see a lot of the National League players play against the American League. There's a lot of mystery kind of behind it. Now interleague play, mandatory interleague play where everybody plays every team this year. It's a
It's a
little
little
different.
mandatory that they play everybody now. Yes, yeah.
But I guess having new faces is nice. 32. How many are on each roster? Is it 20 something on each roster?
Yeah,
25.
well, the standard. Well, it's 25-man rosters normally, but I think maybe it's even a few more for the All-Star game.
Yeah. I think it is too. I think the pitching staff seems, I
Maybe
don't
it's
know.
a little bit bigger. Maybe there might be like four or five relievers, I think, on each staff.
There's a lot of starters. There's like nine starters though, it seems like.
Something
So
like that,
there are lots of
yeah. At
starters
least
on the
five,
roster.
anyway, and five, six starters, and there's
Yeah,
in
so
double and double up on every position, I think, pretty much. So it
yeah,
probably
there's
is closer to 60 players on that roster.
so the half of them, maybe we can say half of them probably are new.
First timers.
But like one of those is like Bobby Witt Jr. This is his first All-Star game, which he maybe is surprising since he played so well last year. But I guess he only heated up in the second half of last season, really. He didn't have a great first
Started
half.
out pretty slow.
And the Royals were terrible, so they weren't going to get more than one player in anyway. So this year it's Witt, it's Salvador Perez in
His
his
ninth appearance.
ninth game.
Ninth All-Star game.
And we have Cole Reagans and Seth Lugo both in their first as well.
Two
Two
starting pitchers from the
of
Kansas City
and you could
Royals.
argue that Brady Singer, his season has been as good as either Reagans or Lugo's almost. So,
He has four straight starts now, only allowing one run to,
Yeah,
leading into the
Singer's
All-Star
ERA is
break. So
under three. Reagans is
he's
a
really
little over
hot
three.
right now too, though. He bet.
He's like Hansel.
Yes, so hot right now.
So hot right now,
And so.
Brady Singer. He does, yeah. It's yeah. I think it's great for the Royals. This is like probably their most All-Stars since probably 2015, when the Royals fans packed the ballot box when basically everybody, I think seven out of the nine starters or something like that were Royals.
I think that's what Baltimore did this year. I think they were very starter heavy for this All-Star game. I think Ryan O'Hearn was nearly voted in to the All-Star game, even as a certainly wouldn't guess to be an All-Star, but certainly an important player on
Yeah, he was
the
the
Royals.
Omar Infante of that year, where he almost got voted
Yes.
starter when he had was doing not very well that year. But yeah, it's good for the Royals. Maybe we'll talk more about the Royals at the end of the broadcast when we talk about their chances. Their playoff chances seem like they're wilting a bit, but maybe if they can get some players in the trade deadline before the trade deadline, things might turn around.
That's just to answer your question earlier, there are 77 All-Star players named to the team.
Okay,
Some
so
of them are probably replaced for
yeah.
injury, stuff like that too. So it's 77. All Stars.
Almost 40 on each side then. Okay.
No.
Seth Lugo, do you think he is going to start the All-Star game? He is leading the American League in wins and ERA and quality starts, innings pitched.
Innings pitched too. That is kind of a big one. And I think he's made all of the starts. So yeah, it seems like even old school baseball people would say, yeah, wins is the most important stat, and he is the league leader in that. So it makes sense to give him the opportunity to start. This is, I mean, he's had a great start to the year. I think he deserves it, but you could make a case for several other pitchers that will also. But I
Yeah.
think timing wise, I think his rest schedule falls awfully close to where his start should be. So I think it maybe helps him be the selection just because of his bullpen session scheduling. I think even possibly makes him the favorite even for timing at least. So
Do you think it
I think he's
matters?
got a really good chance. Do you think he'll have a good chance, or do you think
He's
Paul Skeens is more likely to start the National League than Seth Lugo in the American League?
I would say Lugo is probably more likely to start in the American League than Skeens is in the National League, simply because he's played the whole season.
Yeah.
And I think maybe also because Lugo's a lefty, and maybe the lineup might be lefty heavy for the National League. I'm not sure. So maybe you just want to put matchups in and have the lefty in first. If there's a lot of lefties in the starting lineup for the National League, just to get the first inning or two. And
Yeah.
have advantage that way.
It's possible, but I don't think Lugo is a lefty though. I think he's a righty.
He's a righty. I was thinking he was a
Yeah.
lefty. Reagan's
Reagans is a lefty.
is the left. Reagan's is the lefty. Lugo's a righty. I got it
So
confused.
does
Yeah.
that does that does that change your perception on what Lugo's predicted being a starter or not?
Maybe a little less, but. I don't know if there's a lefty that is up as high because I don't think he put Reagans in as the starter.
So.
So just given his, you know, Reagans is doing really, really well, but he's not, his stats aren't, haven't been as what Lugo's have been. So I think maybe Reagans is also a better pitcher than Lugo is overall, but he hasn't had a
Yeah.
good
Well,
start.
you could say that, Seth Lugo isn't even the ace on his own pitching staff, because Reagans is the number one pitcher in the rotation order.
Yeah, I don't know if that matters so much, given
It
that
should it shouldn't make any difference, but who knows?
I don't know how they do it, but maybe or maybe they want the Royals starters to go in later when Salvi is catching at, 'cause they'll have Rutsch, maybe they'll have
Better communication.
who's the Orioles starter, Corbin.
Rutschman, Adley Rutschman.
Yeah, who's the
Yeah.
pitcher? Who's the starting pitcher
Oh, the
for the
pitcher. It's a really young guy. I can't remember. Yeah, Rutschman's the catcher. Rutschman's the catcher.
I'm looking him up right now. It's not Grayson. I wasn't thinking of Grayson
Corbin
Rodriguez.
Burns.
Corbin Burns. I was thinking Corbin Burns.
Yeah.
I was thinking Corbin Burnson. It's not Corbin Burnson though. And
No, Corbin Burns.
it's not Patrick Corbin. For the
Right. Right.
Corbin Burns.
But you have to like think of Coast of London though when you hear the White Sox pitchers. Name for the All-Star selection of Garrett Crochet, though, right? Doesn't
Garrett
that
Crochet.
sound what sounds like it totally sounds like a toast of
Garrett
London.
Crochet.
Garrett Crochet.
Chris Bread.
Ray Purchase.
If there's high winds though on the day of the All-Star game, which pitcher is best in the high winds?
Yes. I'm going to assume that Garrett Crochet is the best high winds pitcher. That sounds right,
He does have
doesn't
the most strikeouts in the league, so maybe he can pitch through the wind in a way that others cannot.
it? No. Yeah, makes
So
sense.
highly
I
recommend.
believe
Yeah, Corbin Burns is second in ERA in the American League right now. So maybe they would, because Rutschman is starting, maybe they pair, sometimes they pair the starter and the catcher.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
No, it makes sense, but maybe they want to, don't want too many Orioles on the field at the same time. Because they like so it'd be Texas's coach would be the manager then, right? So it'd be yeah, for the game. So like I mean Texas it was Baltimore's coach that was the manager for the game. They would probably put all Orioles in, right? But it's Texas's manager
And
that's
where is the game in? Is the game in Texas?
Yeah. Yes, it is. But it sounds like Bobby Witt will be participating in the home run derby then.
Yes.
What do you think of his chances in the home run derby? Or do you not want to see him in the home run derby?
There's this idea that if you're in the home run derby, you swing for the fences and it messes up your swing for the second half of the season. I don't know if that's really true or not. If it is, I think you should be able to, do things a little better. You should be able to know what situation you're in and play baseball, play real baseball differently from home run derby.
I think they have tweaked the rules just a bit too. I think they have like a pitch maximum that they can see also, especially in the early rounds. So like it's the timed round, but there's only a maximum number of balls that can be thrown to them. So there's sometimes there are pitchers that work quicker to the batter that like they end up seeing more pitches to
Used
hit
to be based
anyways.
on the number of outs that you would make. The
Yeah, it's still
pixels
that. But there is a maximum number of pitches that can be
now.
thrown during the time frame too now. It's also an exhibition and
I
who
haven't
really
watched a home run derby in several years, so
it's
I
not
don't
terribly exciting to watch for the most part.
Is Chris Berman, is he still say back, 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 back,
Yeah,
back on every
yes, constantly.
every ball hit?
Yes, basically.
Did you go to the Home Run Derby when it was in Kansas City about 12 years ago?
No, the tickets for all of the All-Star Game weekend things were like way too expensive. They priced out like, regular humans from going to these things. It's all, yeah, very
Okay, fair.
pricey. It's only, it's more of an elitist group than than you would guess, right?
Yes. Speaking of elite groups, we have the Major League Baseball draft also coming up. The Royals are picking sixth. Looks like there's a kind of a consensus top 10 set of draft picks. They include Travis Bezina from Oregon State, who is Australian player. He's thought maybe possibly going number one, if not him, maybe Charlie Condon from Georgia. Or maybe J.J. Weatherholt or Jack Calianone from Florida. Hagen Smith and Chase Burns seem to be the top pitchers available. Then there's Nick Kurtz, Braden Montgomery, and then two high schoolers, Connor Griffin and Bryce Rayner, round out the top 10. Which one of those players do you think the Royals will? Do you think the Royals will take a high school player? You think they'll take a pitcher? You think they'll take a college bat? They're picking sixth. What is your inclination of what the Royals are going to do? There is also the possibility of a intriguing pitcher, Gerangelo Saintia from Curaçao. He is interesting because he is a switch pitcher. He can pitch both right-handed and left-handed. You can throw 95 miles an hour with either arm.
That's the important stat there, is that he's not only capable of throwing with both arms, but he is capable of throwing 95 miles an hour with each arm, which is insane. And I think you mentioned that they're talking about having him be, maybe he grades to be a starter with one arm and maybe a reliever with the other. Was
Yeah,
that?
I said either a right-handed starter or a left-handed reliever. I saw someone midget. He's rated usually around the 20, somewhere between 18 and 30, 25, 30 for the prospect list. I would say he's probably going to go middle of the first round. So if the Royals, they would have to either overpay or overpick him. And maybe because the Royals also have the 39th and 41st draft picks, maybe because there are slots that are kind of recommended. So maybe they could pick him and do under slot and then go over the value for 39 and 41 if they wanted the dual handed pitcher. But I don't see the Royals picking somebody like that. They're not really
They
a
shouldn't do
progressive
that.
organization in that way. I would say maybe it seems like a Rays or a Astros kind of
Yeah.
thing. Yankees, Mets, one of the or one of the big New York teams or something that would.
Well, especially somebody like the Yankees would make sense because they would they have a lot of flexibility. They can take shots on sort of freakish athletes that other teams may not want to take a risk on just because they don't know what they're going to do. They don't know how to train this guy because he's like literally different than anybody else really out there.
And the Yankees did have that one switch pitcher,
Vendetti? Was
Vin.
that Vendetti?
Yeah, Pat Venditti or Pat maybe Vendit. I don't know.
It was
Venditti.
Vendetti, I believe,
He's
was
pronounced
the,
Venditti.
yeah.
Ambidextrous pitcher. So
Yeah.
they have to. To be a pitcher, you have to signal before each batter what hand you're going to use to pitch with.
Yeah. Have you seen like the special glove too that has like the thumb on both sides? Because we can't have
Wow.
two different gloves, so he has to like take the glove off one hand on the other. So it has a thumb on both sides.
Interesting.
So it looks very strange,
You'd have
but
to like flex two ways then too.
it would have to be, yeah, really somewhat strange. But I mean, I'm sure they get used to it because they're, using it all the time. But
The Yankees also had
I wouldn't be able to throw with my left arm like at all. So I don't know that. Not that I'd be able to throw, even in the 50s probably, but with either arm, but.
famous one-handed pitcher Jim Abbott also pitched for the Yankees. So the Yankees have had interesting pitchers in terms of handedness pitch
Yes.
for them in the past. So maybe that's a Yankees. I think they picked 20. Sixth or something, so
Six. Yeah, I think that sounds right.
they're kind
Yeah.
of so, but the Royals, yeah, I don't see them picking. Who do you think the Royals are gonna go with?
So I think they've had some pretty recent success, or they think they do, at least anyway. Well, they have definitely had some success with Bobby Witt. He's a high school player. Last year they drafted Blake Mitchell. As a high school catcher, it seems like he's maybe making some progress. We'll
Yeah, he's
see.
doing really well, and
It's still very early. It's hard to
he
tell
has a
for
lot
sure.
of strikeouts, but not as many as he did early on in the season, and he's
Yeah.
raking otherwise, so he's been a really solid hitter.
But I think they would continue the trend. I think they maybe, position players from the high school ranks. That's what I would guess. They would take one of the two prep
Connor
players.
Griffin from Mississippi or Bryce Rayner from California.
Yeah, my guess would be, was it Connor
Griffin.
Griffin? That would be my guess because he seems to fit the sort of Royals mold of being like the extremely fast. It seems like he is one of the highest graded speed players in the draft, and he's, I think, just barely 17 years old even, so he's very young. But it seems like he would fit, somebody that the Royals would be interested in. I know a lot of the experts are not necessarily picking him, but Rayner, I think, was the other high school player. Some of the experts are picking, and then also maybe some more of the college players are on the list too.
Yeah, I've seen Nick Kurtz, college first baseman out of Wake Forest.
Yeah.
I also have
What's yeah? What's 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 your guess then?
I think the Royals are gonna go, I think they're gonna go pitcher. If they go high school pitcher, I think the number one, we didn't mention him, the number one high school pitcher is Cam Caminiti, who is Ken Caminiti's nephew. I guess so the late Ken is in Ken Caminiti, he died, didn't he? because of
I think so.
extreme drug use and cheating. Or maybe, yeah, he died 2004 at age 41.
Wow.
Yeah, he was addicted to alcohol and crack cocaine. And he was on those Astros teams that were famous for their steroid and drug use, Daryl Kyle, and but somehow Greg Biggio and Jeff Bagwell, especially Bagwell, who was huge, went by unscathed in the, I guess, the Balco reports and things like that. So they were both in the Hall of Fame when similar athletes did not escape the wrath of the Baseball Writers Association. But anyway, I think the Royals could pick a high school pitcher if they pick Cam Kinrenny, but I think more likely they're going to pick a college pitcher. And I like Hagen Smith out of Arkansas. The Royals like art players from Arkansas. They have, of course, they have the Northwest Arkansas Naturals minor league team in Springdale, which is just a few miles north of Fayetteville, where the University of Arkansas is. So I could see them picking him if he drops to six. I think the top couple of college bats are probably going to be Gambazzana and Condon, and maybe Weatherholt even are going to be Calyanone. Maybe they're going to be gone by then. So it seems like the two top college pitchers are Crit Chase Burns and Hagen Smith. And I think left if I think if all else being equal, you would take a lefty over a righty, just because I think
The rarity for part of
lefties
it,
seem to be
right?
more valuable because a lot of because they can get left-handed batters out. So I like Hagen Smith from Arkansas. He's number five on baseball on MLB's prospect list. He's number six on Baseball America's prospect list. And he's number eight on ESPN, so he's kind of right in that number six area. But I would also be not surprised if they took a high school. But I would be most surprised probably if they took a college bat because it seems like the college bats they've taken in the top 10 have been not so great. You think of Hunter Dozier or what? I can't think of his name now.
Like a Hosmer Moustakas.
They were high school bats, but the
Oh,
college.
that's true, man.
Cologne, Christian Cologne, I was thinking of. He was a
Oh,
college
yeah.
bat. So he hasn't. He didn't have much success on the. He had some success in Royals history in terms of his playoff clutchness, but he did not have long-term success for the Royals.
Yeah. But involved in two of the most famous Royals games from 2014 and 2015. So yeah, involved heavily because he was the drove in the tying run, I think, in the wild card game against the A's in 14, and then scored the winning run on Sal's ground ball past their base, right?
Yes.
And then drove in the winning run on pinch hit. His only like pinch hitting appearance, I think, in the playoffs. In the 2015 clinching World Series victory.
Yeah, the Royals have only taken college bats. They did take in 2022. They got Gavin Cross, who was from Virginia Tech. They took him at number nine. But a college batter, the last one before Gavin Cross in 2022 was Hunter Dozier in
And
2013.
I don't know that he's signed anywhere, is he? Because the Royals released him last season.
Yeah, he's a free agent. It says,
Well, he's been a free agent for like a full year at this point, then.
He signed
That's
a
crazy.
minor league contract in January with the Angels, and in 48 games for AAA Salt Lake this year, he had 222, 268, 394 slash, and then he was released on June 2nd. So
Wow.
he was in the Angels organization
Yeah.
until June. So he
He
spent
wasn't free the whole time.
No. And Christian Colon was the last college batter they took before that. And before that, it was actually Alex Gordon. So they've only had three college hitters. Wait, Gordon, Colon,
Dozier, Cross.
Dozier, and Cross. So four in the last 20 years. That's not Mitch Meyer was the one before that. So it's been a while since
What year was Meyer drafted?
2003 from Toledo. Drafted at number 30. But usually the Royals are picking high school players. That seems to be the most common thing historically for the Royals is picking high school players and very often pitchers first. But it seems like when they've had the chance, at least lately, picking college pitchers has been a good thing for the Royals. Although Ace Lacy has not had a great great injury luck. But I think I don't know. I think I like the Hagen Smith. So we'll see next week who the Royals pick and see if either one of us are right or if they pick one of the guys we mentioned or if they go outside the box. They also
Drafted
picked 39 and 31.
the draft starts Sunday.
Yeah, July 14th, I believe. So
Yeah, Sunday. And so then it will continue through the All-Star break.
yes.
Yes.
Oh, we meant, I guess we forgot to, I was thinking of other Major League Baseball news. There's one piece of news that was interesting. It wasn't for the Royals, but it was with the Twins. Jose Miranda recently from July 3rd to July 6th got a hit in 12 consecutive plate appearances or consecutive at bats, I guess. I don't know if it was plate appearances, but it was
He
consecutive.
might there might have been a hit by pitch or something in the middle of that.
But 12 consecutive at bats, which tied a major league record. The first person to do it since Walt Dropo in 1952. The other players are Pinky Higgins and Johnny Kling, who all got hit in 12 straight at bats. It was the first person to get 12 hits since in 12 straight at bats since 1952.
Yeah,
Jose
70 plus years, so that's pretty nuts.
Did you know there of the players who have gotten 10 hits in a row since the I think since the expansion since the 1990s or since the expansion era since 1980s two of them are did it for the Royals, at least partially for the Royals. One was Joe Randa, 10 hits for the Royals in a row in 1999. We played third base, so similar to Jose Miranda, Joe Randa. He's also a he's not a Jose, he's a Joe, and he's a Randa, not a Miranda. So basically the same guy.
Miranda's in Miranda.
Yeah, same guy. And Joe's in and Joe is in Jose.
That's true.
Yeah,
It could be the same person. Maybe it's just a costume.
so he's it's Joe Randa.
Culturally insensitive costume that Joe Randa puts on.
Joe Randa, the 50 something year old Joe Randa. I guess he's probably about 50 now, at least,
He's got
right?
to be together.
96, 90. He's 54, Joe Randa. He would be 54. But also the other one was Chris Steins, who got his initial three hits for the Royals, but then he was traded to the Reds later that year and sat out much of the year. And then, so 1996, he had three for three for the Royals. And then 1997, a year later, he went 7 for 7 in his first seven at bats for the Reds. That was Chris Steins, future
So
Royal
spanning seasons, spanning teams.
time zones,
Yeah, that's impressive.
and also, future Royal Bip Roberts in 1992 got 10 hits in a row, and future or former Royal, then Braves outfielder Matt, not Diaz, but Diaz also had 10 hits. Do you remember the Matt Diaz era?
Not really. I think that was an era I wasn't paying super close attention to. Anyway, it was that have been during college, I guess, right? So I wouldn't have been in town. Were
Matt
you paying
Diaz,
attention?
he only played for the Royals in 2005. He was
Yeah, I wasn't quite back in Kansas City yet, so.
he did not play long for the Royals, but I just remember him being mentioned because his name was so unusual. I thought, why is he named Matt Diaz when his name is obviously Matt Diaz? He only played 34 games for the Royals, but then the next year he went in 2005. Then the next year he went to Atlanta and he became a very good hitter in kind of a platoon role. He batted 327 and then 328 for the Braves, 338 for the Braves in 2006, 2007, and about kind of splitting time as a platoon player. But yeah, he had 10 consecutive hits in 2006 for the Braves, and he played several seasons for the Braves. Most of his career was with Atlanta, but Matt Diaz, I believe it was Bob Davis. I remember pronouncing Matt Diaz very emphatically as Diaz when he was the radio and TV announcer. Do you have fond memories of Bob Davis?
No, not particularly. I think I probably would have missed a lot of him, though, too. So, not being in KC during those years.
He was also the Kansas Jayhawks football and basketball announcer.
Yeah, that's not good.
Bob Davis, but he often referred to short, kind of pop little bloop singles as a little flare out to right or left. That was his. I assume FLARE, not FLAIR.
Right.
Not a piece
Do you
of flesh.
prefer a little flair to the Seeing Eye single?
I prefer the little flare because I think the Seeing Eye single is simply, it doesn't have any eyes. It's just simply a lucky thing. It's just a flare. I think a flare is more of an accurate description through than kind of a lucky ground ball. But I think a Seeing Eye single has a bit of a poetic nature to it. But I find it a little, I don't know. It's a little too.
Slightly more
It gives the hitter
annoying.
too much credit, I believe.
Yes. Like he was steering it through
Yes.
the plot
Yeah.
somehow. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Not likely.
Yeah, but I think of pieces of flair as in the how many pieces of flair you need to wear on your tchotchkes
Yes.
in Office Space.
How many pieces of flair would you be wearing right now, Mike?
The bare minimum. I'd be worried that I'd be doing the bare minimum.
Yes,
I
exactly
would
the
be dis I'd
number
be disappointed in my
required.
manager in the same way Jennifer Aniston,
Yep.
her manager, played by Mike Judge, actually in that movie,
That's right.
the director of that movie. Unlike Brian, who wore how he had 38 something like that pieces of flair, I think he had a lot.
Yeah. So what you're saying is you're basically Jennifer Aniston. Like you and she are indistinguishable. Is that right? Is that the thing?
Yeah. Joanna wore these were at least 15 pieces of flair, and Brian wore 37. I was one piece off, 37 pieces of flair.
If it was Price is Right rules, you would have failed the challenge there, Mike.
And I would have, but I don't like the Price is Right rules. I like to simply closest gets the closest.
Who is closest?
Yeah.
Yes.
Speaking of close, the Euro 2024 soccer tournaments and the Copa America are close to finishing, and we are close to seeing who's going to win the betting contest between Dr. Andrew Skaff and Dr. Michael Werman. All four of our picks are still alive. We finished the first half of the semifinals of each tournament today. Spain, my pick for the winner of Euro 2024. I believe they were plus 390 when I made the pick. Beat France in the semifinal 2-1. One of those goals was just a spectacular goal sp scored by Lamine Yamal, the 16-year-old soccer sensation from Spain, plays for Barcelona. And then this evening, Argentina comfortably won 2-0 against Canada in its semifinal. And Dr. Skaff picked Argentina to win the Copa America. I believe they were almost even odds, maybe plus 120, something like that, when you made
Yeah.
that bet.
120
And
was very good. Like, yeah, it's pretty low.
our second teams play tomorrow. Dr.
Wait, so
Skaff.
we each have a team in a final
We do.
already. Yes. And
And we each have a team still
alive in the other semi.
alive in the other semifinal. We have the Netherlands playing England. I believe England is favored in that matchup, but Dr. Skaff took the Netherlands as an underdog, which I think might be a good pick. It's certainly better than his potential Portugal pick that he almost picked, but I saved
Nearly
him
great.
from making that blunder. They lost to France in the quarter.
Saving me from myself.
Yeah. You had mentioned
Reminding
that
me.
you were thinking about doing the Netherlands, and that's what I thought you were going to go with, but then you had forgotten your own sage advice. So,
Right. It happens sometimes.
and then I was fortunate enough to have Uruguay squeak past Brazil on penalty kicks in the quarterfinals of the Copa America, and now they're playing Colombia in the semifinals. And I thought Uruguay, I had the same, we each kind of had the same philosophy for each tournament. I thought the winner of the tougher half of the bracket would win the whole tournament. So the Uruguay, Brazil, Colombia half was a lot tougher than the Argentina, basically nobody bracket on the Copa America side. Argentina,
Right.
who they beat, Ecuador maybe, and and beat
Canada.
Canada, something like
Yeah.
that. Yeah, that wasn't so tough. But
I took the
having
easier routes, I think, in
the easier routes, thinking
both
hey, the
times.
more wet rested, the less battle weary team might do better. So England only had the
I
Netherlands
think
as.
like, I was afraid that if I picked on the harder route, that my team might get knocked out early. At
That's
least
also
if you pick on the easier route, they'd have a more clear path to the final where anything could happen, basically.
yeah, I think that was also I think a wise move, but my Spain move has turned out to be the right one.
Totally fine, and they look great. So.
Yeah, they've been the best team so far in the European tournament, that's for sure. They've won every game they've played, so
We each
and
took one sort of shorter odds, one sort of longer odds picks, but we had the same strategies with our own picks
that's
in
true.
both tournaments. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
See. Yeah, now it looks like Uruguay, Colombia, betting odds for this game and FanDuel -112 for Uruguay, -108 Colombia. So Uruguay, very, very slight favorites in that matchup. And England is a slight favorite against the Netherlands, -134 for England. +110 for the Netherlands, so but not too different. The outright winner now, Spain is the huge favorite right now, -185 to win the European championship, and I believe Argentina is probably the huge favorite as well to win the Copa America, since also A, since they're through to the final already. But B, I think since they were the favorite team going in.
And you would think Spain has incredibly good odds because, you know, if they have a 16-year-olds like playing at this level and having success at this level, that how could you possibly beat that team? So
Yeah, 16-year-old for Spain too. It's not like a 16-year-old for, some lesser team. Like this is
yeah,
like.
some tiny country that has barely enough players to field a team or something. Yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing. So
Spain, most storied history, soccer countries in the in that ranks, right?
Yeah, so I think I like Spain, Netherlands as well. All these, I guess, all four of the teams in the final four were pretty high pedigreed
blue bloods,
blue blood teams.
Yeah,
although England has had a knack for blowing it in key situations. That's maybe another reason why you picked the Netherlands, I think, because of England's tendency to choke it away in pressure packed situations. So
if you were given the opportunity right now, would you switch either of your picks that you have right now, or would you ride them out?
I'm gonna ride them out. The one I would possibly switch would be Uruguay. And maybe think of Argentina. I had thought Argentina was probably the more likely pick, but I wanted a little bit longer odds. So I thought Uruguay could be maybe a little bit of a sleeper. And so far, they've proven me right. So I think they aren't going to be afraid of Argentina simply because they're next door neighbors and. You know, they've also won World Cups in the past. They have to get past Colombia, who's also had some talented teams that have kind of choked it away in big tournaments. But I think it's probably going to be a Southern South America final between Uruguay and Argentina, where the sky blue and white, the Albiceleste, play against the sky blue Uruguay. Team. They both have similar uniforms, but the Argentina is usually blue and white stripes, and Uruguay is usually just plain blue. And yeah, we'll see what happens with Spain and the Netherlands, the Netherlands in their matchup. Also, rivals. I would say. Any other observations regarding football?
No,
we don't really have much on American football this week. We're getting back to the roots of the Warning Track Power Hour, really emphasizing baseball heavily. We've already talked a little bit about the Royals, but the Royals are now 49-43, 6 games over 500, 1.5 games out of the final wild card spot now. Do you think the Royals are they going to be buyers or sellers when it comes to the Major League Baseball trade deadline? Do you think they're going to just say, well, we don't think we're going to make the playoffs this year, so we're just going to kind of concentrate on next season, maybe sell and maybe rebuild for the future? Or do you think they're going to go kind of all in and say, we need to, you know, draft or trade some prospects for relief pitchers and maybe an outfield bat and really go for the playoffs this year, you know, in a year where we thought we probably weren't going to make the playoffs, but we're in a surprising position where we're, you know, possibly going to.
Yeah. Personally, I hope they do not make trades. They don't look to move prospects at any level. I don't think that they're capable of making good decisions. I don't know that they're good at evaluating talent at any level. They really should not do anything to jeopardize the team that they have that is seeming to come together at times, at least anyway, to look pretty good. If they could just get out of their players' way and, you know, leave management and decision-making, you know, not to any of the people that have been doing it, they would be much better off, I think, right now. Do you think they'll be buyers?
I think they will be probably slight buyers. I don't think they're going to go all in. I think they'll probably try to get a reliever or two and maybe see what's available in terms of outfield bats. Any improvement will any kind of new person will be an improvement on the offense. I think the offense is a bigger problem than the pitching, because starting pitching has been wonderful. I think the relief pitching, it's a little more fluid, and I think you can probably salvage a decent bullpen if enough pitchers kind of start to get hot, but they also have some options in the minors. Pennington, who they called up and then yanked back down to Omaha, I think could be a good bullpen piece. And maybe they get one bullpen guy. Maybe there's a closer that can bump everybody else down a notch. Could help them, but
They did also get Chris Bubich back after
they did.
his year out from Tommy John surgery. They used him in a ninth inning, very low leverage situation in a 10-1 lead. And he pitched great in that appearance. He was velocity seemed back. He had good movement on his curveball. So like he looks pretty good. I don't like them leaving him in a relief position. I think that they would be better off using him more like pairing him with Michael Wacha in his starts, just so like they don't have to like gas the bullpen in case Wacha doesn't go deep into a game. They could just switch it over to Bubich. Like that would be a better use of both of their talents.
Or Marsh, maybe.
Or Marsh, either one. Yeah. So like if Wacha goes deep into a game, then save him for the next day, because Marsh pitches right after Walker in the rotation. So I mean that would also work. So I don't know. It just seems like it would be better. He would be better served in a longer relief situation than just having him be a pure reliever. They had pushed him back out to 5 innings in AAA, so it seemed like they were ready to bring him back as a starter. But then, Walker was healthy again, so they didn't need a fifth starter
Yeah, Waka's
from
been good
people from the
though.
minor league ranks. Walker's been okay at least anyway since he's been back. He's been more stable than he was like just before he went down with that injury after the line drive. So I don't know. They just don't seem to make good decisions like on personnel or how they use the bullpen. So I don't know that, even if they had the right mix, they'd still have to get rid of somebody. And they never seem to get rid of the right person. Because they have like kind of their middling relievers, like Nick Anderson and Chris Stratton, John Schreiber even. They've been pretty weak as the season's gone on, but they don't seem like they have any intention of moving any of them off of what they're doing right now. So I mean, unless they're willing to actually like part ways with the actual like weak part of the bullpen, then they're not going to fix it by bringing in anybody. There's no room for anybody.
Maybe we have Jordan Lyles coming back at some point. He's been gone mysteriously for a while
I'm
now.
assuming he's probably not coming back. There still hasn't, they someone said anything about it. He left for personal reasons, and they put him on like the weird designation. It was like a they said he left for personal reasons, and they put him on the restricted list. So it wasn't like bereavement or an injured list. It was on the restricted list, which kind of makes it sound like he's probably not coming back. I don't know what happened, but seems like something must have happened between him and the team in some capacity, but they've been sort of polite about how they have
He's
sort of
pitched
quietly separated.
fairly well this season. He had five innings, no runs allowed. So,
He would have been in line to take over the starting role from anybody that faltered, because he was pitching well enough that it seemed like he should be maybe given an opportunity to start again. I don't think he probably liked his reliever role, but if he wanted like out of Kansas City, if that's why he's not with the team now, then that this probably wasn't the way to go about it, if it's from his perspective as to why he's not with the team. I don't know. I'm not quite sure. I mean, I don't think anybody is. The team hasn't said anything, so apparently no one's asking the question either, so I don't know what's going on with it. You just go on.
Who knows? Hopefully it's nothing too, well, it probably is somewhat serious. He hasn't been back for several weeks now, so, but
Several
hopefully
months. This is like in April.
April. So yes, it's been May, June, July. Now we're in. So 2.5 months he's been gone, probably at least.
And then like no word. There hasn't been any story. There's not been any updates from anybody. from him or the team. I don't know what's going on there. It's very strange. It doesn't happen very often where somebody just sort of disappears without any.
Explanation, yeah.
Right. And they've not followed up with it at all. So I don't know. You'd think
So
some of the
if
reporters
it's
must
mental
know
health
something.
related, like, you knew that's why Grinke was stepping away when he did, several years ago,
Yeah.
or
But
was
he
it
like made an announcement like
Duffy
I'm
did
from
that, I
baseball.
think, for a while too.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's unusual.
But I think that's not like a thing that like, there's a big backlash against a player that decides to step away for most reasons, as long as they're not jerks about it. I think most like fans and personnel from the teams would probably understand at least. I mean, they have
Yeah.
mental health professionals on every
Members of the family.
team staff,
Actually, maybe
so
his, like wife is dealing with a complicated pregnancy or something, or,
family
father
members, yeah,
working
unwell
the list or
or
something. Yeah.
they would
Yeah.
have said something, and they would have, but he would have been put added to like a bereavement or some kind of like Family Medical Leave Act
Yeah.
sort of explanation, not this like leaving for personal reasons and then added to the restricted list, which is a bit obscure to do with no explanation at all. But I would assume that they're not expecting him back, whether it's for the Royals' choice or his, I don't know.
Yeah. Wow. We will be back next week for sure, with another exciting installment of the Warning Track Power Hour. Should we finish this week's episode and leave it now and
And so, just real quickly though, the Royals have a doubleheader against St. Louis and a three-game set with Boston before the All-Star break. You think they can break? You think they'll be one above 500? They have to be. I guess they have to be above 500. There are only 5 games left. They're 6 games over. How many games over 500 do you think they'll be going into the All-Star break then? 5 more games.
I guess they can't be six because it's an odd number of games.
Yeah.
I'm hoping.
But they can't be they can the worst they can be is 1 game over 500
Yeah. The best they can be 11
or
games.
11 games over 500.
I'm gonna hope they're I'm hoping for a 3-2. So it'll be 7 games over. I'm hoping for maybe split with the Cardinals in the doubleheader and 2 out of 3
Take
against
one.
Boston.
Take one for Buffalo. I think Boston just had somebody go on the injured list too, so they may be slightly short. And it's a weird time too, because you'd be some players may be getting rested going into the All-Star break. Maybe they can catch Boston like snoozing a bit.
Yeah, Boston was hot and then they've cooled off a little bit, so.
Yeah.
The Royals are also looking hot and cooled off a little bit though too. So, I'm hoping for two. I'm hoping for 3 out of 5. It'll be better, I think, for the Royals if they could make up some ground on their American League rivals. So I'm think I'm guessing 7. Oh, I'm gonna be optimistic and say 7 over. What do you think they'll be, Dr. Scaff?
I think they're probably going to go 2 and 3 at best. These are teams that are both above 500. All of it's on the road. They haven't played as well on the road as they have at home. So I think they'll be lucky if they can go 2 and 3, maybe more like 1 and 4. So I would say, yeah, either 4 or 5 games over 500. I'm going to lean towards 4, honestly, but I hope I'm very wrong.
They would only be 3 games over 500 if they're 1-4.
Oh, it's true. Yeah, that's right. You are correct.
Yes. Well, I just did a little math there. Math.
Three. I will go with 3 games over 500.
I hope I'm right. I'm sure you probably hope I'm right too, just
I do.
for the Royals' sake. But for our sake, we'll call it a. Call it a day here at the One Trick Power Hour. We'll be back next week with hopefully some maybe some NFL news, some Chiefs updates. We'll also have the probably by that point we'll have the Euro 2024 and the Copa America wrapped up. We'll have the Olympics nearly underway. We might want to talk. We might talk a little bit. We didn't mention USA basketball. Their new roster. And how well we think they'll they'll do. Or
First couple
maybe
rounds, then there'll be draft will be done too.
first time the NFL draft will be done. There'll be a lot of interesting topics. We'll have the All-Star break as well, maybe to talk about if something interesting happens in the All-Star game. So it'll be hopefully a more eventful week than this week. But I think maybe we'll have another pop culture movie or thing to talk about as well. We didn't have anything specific this week. We talked about Roadhouse last week. Are there
I think we
any?
should make that a kind of a regular thing to, watch a movie and discuss it too, as especially on these weeks that we don't have like a big event that we have to spend a lot of time talking about.
Yeah, I don't know what's we can discuss once we're off the air, maybe
Maybe
this week,
next time.
something to watch, or next episode. But thank you for hanging in there to our loyal viewers and listeners. We appreciate your patronage. We are happy to have you aboard the Warning Track Power Hour bandwagon. It's a large, ever-growing bandwagon of supporters, and you can say that you were in on the ground floor of the Warning Track Power way before all these other Johnny Come Latelys joined. So you were ahead of the curve. So we appreciate you, and we thank you. And as always, I am Dr. Michael Warman. He is Dr. Andrew Scaff. We are the Warning Track Power Hour. Please like and or subscribe to our YouTube channel or our podcast, which is available on many podcast delivery vehicles, platforms, whatever you want to call them. And again, we thank you, and we wish you good luck on your teams this week. You're betting if you're making bets, or just simply rooting for your teams this week. And until next time, we'll wish you a good day.